Hello, everyone. Welcome to Toonami Therapy. Today on November 4th of 2021, I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
You might have noticed that I had a bit of a pause before I said the name, and that's because we didn't really do anything at all with Toonami this week. It was just a Fena marathon. And yep. Yeah, we'll be back to our regular stuff. Well, kind of, because Black Clover isn't on anymore, and they're having two episodes of My Hero Academia to conclude the season. And then the week after that, they'll premiere their new show, two episodes of that, the Blade Runner Black Lotus, I think it was called. And we don't know what's going to come after that. So just that's our update, I guess. But in the meantime, we did watch some stuff that was not airing on Toonami. This might be a shorter podcast because we've only got three shows and a movie to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah, like what was the thing for Community, that TV series? Like six seasons and a movie. Well, we've got three episodes and a movie. Right. So let's get into that. So we start out. We'll be getting to the movie, the third Evangelion, rebuild of Evangelion at the end. So for first, we've got Fate Zero, episode 11. So in this episode, Ryder comes up with a great idea. Why not just talk it all? Why not just talk the whole thing over? So he basically, it is actually pretty funny when he just barges into their castle and he's like, let's have drinks. So there's him and Saber, and Archer actually shows up also. And there's a bunch of talking about their kind of different philosophies and backstories and opinions and stuff. A lot of talking. But then the other assassins show up because, you know, there's multiple of them and attack them. And Ryder says, well, I know your advantage is supposed to be that, you know, there's, even though you're weaker, there's a lot of you. Well, guess what? I can summon all of these guys to take you on, and just beats assassin. Mm-hmm. So, Ryder seems kind of broken.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. And so after that, they all just kind of go their separate ways. Ryder throughout, Saber gets kind of depressed by some stuff Ryder told her about how she wasn't really a king because of having regrets or whatever it was he was saying. I'm not sure if that worked. And yeah, that was the episode. Before we talk about that, I was wondering that thing he said to her, since I know Saber is in Fate's Day Night, and you saw that anime, is that something? I mean, maybe it'll continue in Fate Zero, but I'm wondering if all that, her conflict about that, ends up being like an important thing in Fate's Day Night.
Not that I remember.
Okay, just wondering about
in
that.
In fact, there wasn't really much on her being King Arthur until the very end in Fate's Day Night. So
okay.
I don't know how that is in Unlimited Blade Works, but
that's a question. Because I know in the game you have to play the orders Fate, Unlimited Blade Works, and Heaven's Feel. And in terms of the girls, that's Saber, then Rin, then Sakura. So I'd assume the game would just assume you know everything there is to know about Saber. So maybe the anime does that. I don't know. We'll find out when we get to there.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I thought it was decent, but I did kind of feel like it was a step down because a lot of it was just talking. I mean, it was.
I thought it was pretty good.
I mean, it was. Okay, I'll just say, I thought it was entertaining talking, but I do think it went on a little long. Okay, I'll shut up. You say your thing.
Okay, yeah, it was I like the whole thing about, them saying what a true king is, and her feeling like she wasn't really a king, which she wouldn't be, because how is a woman a king?
Well,
But
every well, people thought she was male. She pretended to be male. That was like the
yeah.
backstory. That's how the whole King Arthur thing came. It was really just her pretending to be a guy, because otherwise, people wouldn't take her seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was pretty good, and I liked how we got some character interaction, and then the whole reality sphere or whatever that was, and that was it was a good episode, I thought.
Yeah. No, no, I did like it. I just thought it was kind of a step down. And also, I'm just thinking, so we look at like the power stuff we got. Like Archer can like just blast all these like crazy beams everywhere. Ryder can do that thing he just did. And Saber's like, I have a sword. I
An
don't know.
invisible sword.
What?
An invisible sword.
Yeah, but still, I don't know. It just seems that it's not quite as flashy. I'm just confused. I don't know. It just seems Ryder is kind of overpowered if he's able to just do what Assassin does, but do it better. So, yeah. So that was that episode. I mean, we did get some stuff. Ryder was still fun. He's probably the best character, I think, in the show. Yeah, let's see. It's weird. How I'm feeling about Fate Zero is kind of weird, because it's so I'm enjoying it. It is of the stuff we're currently watching, including the Toonami stuff, the thing I'm enjoying the most right now. And yet at the same time, I have this weird feeling of, man, I want to get to the end of this so we can move on to Unlimited Blade Works.
Yeah.
It feels so weird to have that. I'm really liking this, but I want to get done with it. Yeah. Also, I inadvertently gave myself what I think is a major spoiler for the series. I read something about Saber's backstory in the main Fate Stay Night that I don't think was a spoiler there. But I'm pretty sure it happens in this series. And I'm like, oh, well, I guess that might be a spoiler, but I didn't get it. So I guess we'll see. Right. All right. So we got that. Anything else you wanted to say?
No, not really.
All right. So we move on to 86, episode 7. So in this episode, Lena goes to some sort of party thing because she has to, and there's a bunch of the episode about that and her trying to get them the like her unit supplies and stuff, and yeah, there's that. Then we find out. Well, first we get a weird fan service scene of two of the girls taking a shower. That felt kind of weird. We get that, and then we get the reveal that the new, supplies and like newer equipment and replacements, they're going to be coming, but only after all the guys currently working in that unit are die, because the whole plan of them is, oh, we'll just make all the 86 fight, but they'll all die. Well, most of them will die, and the ones that are good will just go into these elite units, and then we'll just have them go against enemies until they die, because I guess that's our diabolical evil plan. And Lena's like, oh no, it's terrible. And I'm thinking, how did you not see this coming? I don't know. Maybe I saw some other people online like being surprised, and I was like, oh, well, I don't know. I mean, I could understand her not thinking this was the case. I'm a little surprised that after all this, she didn't suspect that was it. But anyway, so that's the case. But the other guys are like, well, we're all gonna die, so but we're fighting because, well, the show needs to happen. Yeah, and so that's kind of the episode, I guess. It's weird. Yeah. Sorry. You can say your thing.
It was probably the worst episode so far. I didn't understand that whole party scene at all. Mm. Like, she shows up at the party and just, I'm still confused on so many things about this, but the thing that I dislike the most is the whole thing where the 86 people keep just saying how evil the other people are and telling Lena that whenever she's actually sympathetic toward them and they're beating up on her all the time, and then she's always like getting emotional about it, and it's like, why are you taking all your frustration out on someone who actually sympathizes with you? Why aren't you trying to fight back against the people who are actually doing this to you? That's the thing I don't understand.
The problem I had with this is, again, I was talking about the series needing direction, and I was thinking, okay, the previous episode, it seemed like we were getting that with episode 5, and now we've gotten this thing, I guess. Oh, I guess, is this supposed to be the new direction, what they're going with this? Like, is it going to be about trying to help them escape or stop something? I mean, I assumed that was kind of on the route eventually, but I don't know. This reveal just feels like it should have happened a few episodes earlier. Uh-huh. There's that. Also, there's another thing. So a criticism I've seen some people mention is the fact that despite the fact that it keeps mentioning, oh, all these people in this unit, any of them could die at any time, but they never really act like it. Like, we still have, oh, yeah, this character has a crush on this other character. Will they tell them? And I'm like, you could die at any point. Why? And mm-hmm. you're teenagers too. Why are you doing this sort of thing? Shouldn't you be hooking up like very quickly? Especially, and it's more and it's even weirder here because you can say, okay, you know, they could die, but it's not certain. But if you know you're just gonna straight up die eventually, well, I mean, I guess that happens to everyone, but die eventually, as in within the span of a year, you think they would be more active in that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. That was a bit weird. So, I don't know. That's what I keep just getting onto the show. I want some more direction and purpose to where it's going, which this kind of feels like we had a direction and then we're doing something different. Also the military, I mean, well, I can't say it's implausible that the military would be stupid, because there's been a lot of very stupid militaries, but I'm just thinking, okay, so their plan is to hold out for the necessary years and fight off the Legion stuff, and then they'll just take out all the remaining 86 along the process. But we know that won't work. Like, Shin mentions how that won't work. Do the military brass, are they not aware of that? Or are they ignoring it? Because I think that even if they don't like the 86, they would at least listen to something that could affect them in important fashion. And we don't know that. And it comes across as very stupid on their part. Now, maybe there's an explanation and we'll get to it, but it is just, it is, and I can't even say again, but it seems like even by dumb military decisions, it does not make much sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, I liked it more than you did, but I still had some some notable problems with it. I have been, there's a few very vague spoilers I've got about what happens later in the series, and from them it does sound like it gets a bit more of a direction and addresses some of my issues, but I don't know when the things described happen. For all I know, this isn't going to be till season two or maybe even after that. But yeah,
yeah.
So I'm hoping we can get some stuff better together and not feel like the episodes are just kind of stuff happening without enough of an overarching goal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then we've got for our last show, And You Thought There Is Never a Girl Online, episode 3.
Yes. So it's more of trying to get Akko to go back to reality, and she kind of does until at this one point she wants to go and meet someone offline she wants to meet someone online who she met in the offline, who she met in the game. And then what happens is that she goes to meet them, and the other guys are getting the other girls, that is, are getting really mad at the main character. So he goes and tries to save her from this evil person he might be meeting, only to find out that this person is their homeroom teacher, and she apparently plays the game too, and she plays as the cat princess, Nekohime. And so that was a pretty entertaining reveal whenever they find out that, oh, it's just their teacher. And then she goes and tries to attack the teacher, which was a pretty funny scene. But yeah, so she's still having trouble keeping things between reality and fantasy. And so it'll be interesting to see now with their teacher in this whole thing. I like how they said, and you thought there's never a girl online, and here you've got all girls. So that's a pretty nice touch. I like that. Yeah, I like the episode, and yeah, that's it.
Well, first off, I did have to think again. So let's point out that all four of the members of their group in the game, which as far as we can have been indicated is not some like local game, this is something that's at least a general Japanese thing, are all in the same high school. And then this other character is a teacher in their high school. So I have to say, what are the odds? So that was kind of implausible. I kind of also, I don't know, Akko, like the girl who's, you know, the black-haired one, her character trait of having difficulty, like, discerning between real life and online, I'm finding it kind of annoying. Are you finding it that way, or?
No.
Okay.
I think that's necessary to make this show work, because that's kind of the plot of the show. I mean, on the Blu-ray, it kind of makes it out that it's kind of like the description of the show is that that's the main story of the series. Now, you could make an argument that her not understanding it shouldn't be funny, and that it's actually a really bad thing. But even if that's the case, there's still the unintentional humor part of it. So Yeah, I don't have a problem with it.
Well, the problem isn't exactly the fact that she has it. It's more the way it's dealt with. Like, the way she acts can feel a bit annoying. And the fact the series seems a little unsure about whether we're supposed to find this comedic or serious.
Mm-hmm.
Those are, like, the issues I've got with those. Yeah, but it was okay. There was something, I feel like there's something else I wanted to say. But yeah, I guess it being implausible, the fact that, oh, well, this girl was actually a guy, except she's not actually a guy. She was a girl. She's a girl who was pretending to be a guy who was pretending to be a girl. Which actually reminds me of what I saw. So there's this one. Okay, I can't remember which Shakespeare play this was. I was going to say it's one of the ones that involves a girl pretending to be a boy, but that describes like 10 of them. I just remember there's a part at the end. Back then, in Shakespeare's day, all the women's roles were played by men, usually younger boys.
Right.
And so there's a part. Which is, of course, not the case now. You just have women play them. And I saw what someone observed, because, so the character, was it As You Like It? I think it was As You Like It. Anyway, so there's this girl, and she pretends to be a guy in the play. And at the end, there's kind of a fourth wall break where her actor addresses the audience. But so that would mean... you know, it would be the male actor who is playing a girl pretending to be a guy. But since now it's, you know, women who play it, now you're having a woman pretending to be a male actor who is playing a female character who is pretending to be a guy in the play.
That's pretty funny.
Yep. Because, like, in the speech, I need to mention at the end, I can't remember exactly what it says, but they do, like, reference the fact that they're actually, like, the actor is actually male. Like, they say something about, I can't remember exactly what they said, but it's referenced, although I don't think explicitly said. But, yeah, so there's that. Anyway. So, okay, so that was, and you thought there was never a girl online. Then we finally have Evangelion, Rebuild of Evangelion 3, You Can Not Redo, or I still don't know how to say this parenthetical thing, but whether you should just say it or not. I'm also a little sad because since we're watching the special versions, this one is like 3.33. Well, last week we watched 2.22. And it was the 222nd episode of our show, and I didn't mention it. coincidence. But I did now. So, this movie. So, basically, what we find out is that we've gone forward 14 years. But, conveniently, for marketing purposes, all the Evangelion pilots have not aged.
Mm-hmm.
So Asuka, Mari, Shinji, they're the same age. Although Shinji was like, I don't know if he was like just unconscious or if he was like somehow without a body and got it back or what, but, so they get him, back and we find out that Misato and most of the other characters are now part of a different group called, I can't remember how it was pronounced. Was it Willy? Willy? Do you remember?
Yeah, I don't know how it's pronounced. Yeah.
They said it, but I can't remember. Actually, I think the W might have been pronounced like a V, you know, like as in German, but I'm just going to call it Willy. So they're fighting against Nerve for, well, we honestly get very little explanation as to how we got to this point. The big thing is that Shinji gets taken by Rei, except it's not the Rei we knew. It's one of the clones or whatever, so she doesn't have any memory. And then he ends up with Nerve again. And Then he spends time there and meets Kaworu, who does not seem to be at... Well, because in the original series, he was basically just a bad guy who pretended to be good. This one, he seems more genuine, maybe. I'm just going to kind of go through stuff quick. So he tells Shinji that they might be able to fix up the world if they both go in Ava to go to Lilith to get the spears out or do something. So they go there. Asuka and Mari show up to tell Shinji, this is a terrible idea, don't do it. Although no one ever has bothered to explain to Shinji why it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
And Kaworu says, wait, actually they might have a point. The spears don't look right. This might be a bad idea. But Shinji decides, I'm going to do it anyway. And it starts to cause something bad, except then it doesn't somehow. Like, a character says, oh, well, Fourth Impact was about to start, but then it stopped. I wonder how that happened. Because they don't know. Then, basically, Kaworu dies, apparently. I don't think it'll stick, because he's on the poster of the fourth movie. with all that stuff done, then that's taken care of, and Gendo's like, aha, all as planned. And then Asuka and Shinji and Rei and Mari, they're just gonna do something.
Yeah.
If I know that sounded very disjointed, even more so than usual, but this was a rather disjointed movie.
Yeah, this movie is by far my least favorite so far of the movies. And here's the sad thing, is that you said that the scripts and gives away the plot of the movie, but I read that description and I still didn't understand what was going on. So that's pretty much I don't know. I really confused why no one just sat Shinji down and said, look, this is why you shouldn't do this. And then whenever Kawaru's even telling him, don't do it, he still goes and does it. It's like, it doesn't make any sense. Go ahead.
I mean, well, his decision makes some sense in that because the world got like really screwed up even more than it was before, and it was kind of his fault, even if he wasn't trying to do it and was just trying to save Rei. So him wanting to fix everything, yeah, that makes even going like to any extent makes some sense. But when everyone, including the guy who suggested it, is telling you, I don't think this will actually work, that he just keeps doing it.
Yeah.
But yeah, the fact that no one explains anything to Shinji is just weird. It's it reminds me of, so I never played the game Bravely Default, but there's this sort of video game webcomic called Awkward Zombie, and there's this goofy one comic where one of them and this character, it's like from the game. I know this is kind of an issue people have pointed out with the plot of the game, but this I just like when this person's like saying, halt, you and your companions are being misled. I do not wish to fight you, but if you aim to continue on your path, you will need to be stopped. The other character said, well, wait, why don't you just explain why you think we're wrong? Maybe if we know, we won't have to fight and nothing needlessly tragic will have to happen. The other guy says, oh, I'll never tell. And I don't know, maybe it's probably funnier if you actually look. Awkward Zombie, the comic title is Reason for the Treason. As the author just writes, Bravely Default is a game where every bad thing could have been avoided if the characters would have actually communicated with each other during the numerous opportunities they're given to do so. And that's what I was feeling about this movie. There's multiple opportunities. Like, at least at the start, just tell Shinji what's going on. Because not only would it help him, it would help us. Because it's like, I can't remember if it was 15 or 25 minutes into the movie, but it was pretty long before we actually find out, hey, we've gone forward 16 years. Which is something I wonder, what was the point of that even?
Yeah.
Because, like, okay, we need a time skip, fair enough, but couldn't we have just gone, like, 1 or 2 years? Or, then you could have still had the pilots look about the same. You could say, okay, you know, it's been a year or two, it just looked the same, but, it's not like there's anyone else, any other character we saw who, everyone else was an adult, so, you know, they didn't really look much different. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did write it down. 25 minutes before we explain much of anything. And we still don't get much. We don't know why so many people like decided to leave Nerve and go against him. I don't think we even know exactly what they were fighting through at the beginning of the movie. Or any of this sort of stuff. It's just very confusing. That's the point I keep mentioning. It's just confusing because no one bothers to there is not enough people explaining the situation to Shinji and therefore the audience.
Yeah.
And the other problem is, it's funny, the first two movies were kind of rushed in plot. This one felt stretched out.
Yeah, it felt like they padded it out like a lot. It really felt to me like nothing, like everything was like just one battle was the entire movie. And I guess you get that thing at the beginning, but we don't know what's going on there. And it just felt like they were just padding things out and they didn't really have all that much to do. And so we had to fill it in with Shinji playing the piano. And that was weird, especially given that he's able to instantly play the piano well without any sort of training or anything. That was a little weird. It didn't make much sense, the whole thing with Karu, that he just kind of like, okay, I'm going to do whatever he tells me. Like, this was just a dreadful movie.
Yeah, I'll give it a small bit of benefit in following what Kawaru suggests because it's trying to do with what it did in the original series, where everything has been so completely screwed up for Shinji by the time Kawaru shows up that when Kawaru is like, "Hey, I'm going to be nice to you," it basically lets him manipulate Shinji really well. I mean, and such. Although I'm still confused. It's been so long since I watched it, but you're still confused. Okay, so if the other people know or at least strongly suspect he's the Last Angel, why do they still let him be an Ava pilot and such? The point of that is that Shinji, ends up having to kill him, which screws him up even more. And here it seems like, so him go like, you know, trusting him makes some sense because, hey, he's actually, well, for starters, Kawaru actually explained a few things to Shinji.
Yeah.
you know, stuff that no one else did. And he was actually nice to him, although because Shinji's life has, up until this point, has not been as traumatic as it was in the series, that him latching on to him to this extent doesn't make quite as much sense. But the big thing is that Shinji just feels really bad about what happens and wants to undo it. So I'll give it credence for that. The problem is, it just, we just spend so much time on that. The show did one episode with Kaworu, and it's been so long since I've seen this series. Maybe I should rewatch it at some point, but, I'm not even sure if I remember liking that episode that much. So, going into the, just have, doing it again isn't what I'm super interested in. Let's see, one of my, there's especially one point I wanted to make, but right here is the other thing. And it was something I realized with this episode. Shinji by himself, I don't think is very, at least to me, particularly interesting or entertaining. He works when he's interacting with other characters like Rei, Asuka, Misato, his father, those sorts of things. That's when he becomes interesting through his interactions with others. And we don't really get that in this, other than him interacting with Kaworu, which isn't as interesting. Uh-huh. And even Kaworu, a bunch of it isn't like, even then a bunch of it is just Shinji by himself, which didn't work so well for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know. Do you, I think we've been negative. I want to say a few positives about it. Asuka, whenever Asuka was on screen, it was a lot better. Not just because I like Asuka, but just because it was better. Whenever she, or for that matter, Mari, who we still have the problem of not really getting much development, but whenever one of them was involved in something, it was better. And I mentioned she didn't really feel like she got much personality in the previous movie, other than just being, hey, I'm a fighter. I was thinking, oh, well, that's kind of Asuka's thing. And then I realized, doesn't that make her redundant? And I discovered something. Even if she is another Asuka, having two Asukas interact with each other is actually kind of entertaining.
Yeah.
Whenever they were interacting with each other or someone else, those were the best parts of the movie. And unfortunately, that's only a small part of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I did like Mari's role in this movie. The last one, I was like, well, what's her purpose? But, she seemed like a pretty good addition now. And, that was a pretty good scene with her and Asuka fighting together. Mm-hmm. I'll give it that. It was pretty good when Asuka and Mari were on screen, but the rest of it was just way too confusing. Mm-hmm. And then I'm confused over the human instrumentality project. Like, has it already happened, or is it happening now, or is it going to happen? Because you like see all those skulls and you see all that orange tang and from what I'm guessing is that it already happened or is happening with Shinji's accents, but it wasn't made very clear to me. So, like, if you don't remember, the Human Instrumentality Project was pretty much just to turn all of humanity into orange tang and and I guess that made a better existence or something. I'm not sure if You know, that was what we were supposed to think was happening. Like, if I hadn't seen the original series, I wouldn't have a clue that that's going on. So, yeah, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, so I mentioned before we watched this that I heard this didn't get received that well, and I can kind of see why.
Yeah.
But I've heard the fourth one is better.
Okay.
So I do have some hopes for that, and the fourth one is what's important, because like here's like the thing when what people were most interested in, I feel, or at least I was, maybe other people not so much, but in Rebuild of Evangelion was, let's get a different ending, because the ending of the TV show was really controversial. End of Evangelion was also controversial for other reasons, although I think it was still better received. I know you said you liked it. But a lot of people, including myself, have just always been a bit annoyed that we didn't get an ending that we felt was really satisfactory. I was hoping, okay, maybe Rebuild of Evangelion will be the one to do it. And so, like, it's all lean on that last movie, because the road to it has not justified the existence of the movie series to me. It hasn't told me why you would watch this instead of the original series, or even if it's to watch it in addition to the original series, outside of, I guess, to a certain extent, like some level of nostalgia. So it's all in on that final movie. If they can pull out an ending that, to me at least, is more satisfying, then this will have justified its existence. If not, not so much. Or maybe it'll just be a good movie, and, you know, that'll be good enough. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, that's my thoughts on that. We'll see how that ends up. Yeah, I've gotten in a few sort of vague spoilers on... So here's a weird thing. I know some vague spoilers about the ending, but not really anything else that happens in it.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens. I've still got my hopes it can pull around and fix some of the problems. I mean, look, the thing's 2.5 hours. It's about the length of 7 episodes. You can, there's a bunch of stuff you can do in 7 episodes.
Yeah, really.
All right. So any final...
If we see Shinji in a folding chair again, then that's it for me.
What was that again?
Shinji sitting on a folding chair, you know, the good old, I mean, you've seen the scene, you know, where it's Shinji just by himself sitting on a folding chair with his head in his hands and like feeling all distraught. And that was pretty much all the original ending consisted of.
Oh, that's what, oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. When you said folding chair, I was thinking, maybe it's something called different. You know, those things that you'll like often, like people will lie down on, like at a pool or something. Those are called something else, aren't they? But yeah, I know what you're talking about. I just had a totally different thing, image in my head. So yeah. We'll see. Yeah, that was kind of in the final episode. Honestly, we'll probably get at least a shot of it at some point as some sort of bit of nostalgia. But I'm trying. I find when I discuss these, I just keep repeating myself. So I'm going to cut myself off and just repeat myself one more time and say this was the weakest of the movies so far, although it ironically had the opposite problem of being padded out instead of being like sped up. But if the last movie could turn things around, so we'll be seeing that, and Oh man, our podcast for next week is probably going to be super long because we'll have the Toonami stuff to talk about, our non-Toonami stuff, and then we'll have the last movie in this series.
Well, good thing Toonami only has really two shows, three episodes of two shows. So
yeah, we might be able to go through them quick. We'll see. But the last thing I wanted to say was I'm very glad that, because I remember there were points earlier where we were thinking, hey, why don't we like watch that third Evangelion movie? We've seen the first two, might as well see the third. And I'm glad we held off until now because we can go right into the final movie rather than waiting years for it.
Yeah. And also, as you said, and I saw it this week, I was like, wow, our 222nd episode happened to be Evangelion 2.22. I don't know how we made that work, but we did. We're not waiting another 111 episodes for the next one.
Yes, which the funny thing is, if we did this podcast back when it came out, and then we did watch 2.22 for episode that one, we could have waited 111 weeks, and the third movie still wouldn't be out, I think. There was a gap of, let me think. Oh, actually, well, it wouldn't be out, but it wasn't that huge of a gap. There was a 3-year gap between the second and third movie. It was the third and fourth one where they had a 9-year gap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was ridiculous. And I'm glad we're watching them all at once. That just makes it a lot easier to understand what's going on.
Yeah. So,
of course, I didn't know what was going on for most of this one anyway. So, yeah.
Yeah. On the whole, I kind of feel this week was a bit of a step down. I kind of thought like all the shows we watched were, including the movie, were not as interesting to me as the previous episodes. Now, like that like varied because, you know, I still liked Fate Zero. I just didn't like it as much, for example. But it seemed like every episode, everything we watched, at least for me, was a step down from where it was the previous week.
So are we going to give a top three?
Yeah, we watched three shows.
Mine would be pretty simple. Third place, 86. Second place, Any Plot. And first place, Fate Zero.
Ugh. My feelings toward 86, it's so weird for me because I spent most of this episode complaining about it, but I still kind of looked in it like, I don't know. I still kind of liked it. I don't know why. So... Mm-hmm. I'll just do Fate Zero first, then 86, then the show whose name I always have to look up because And You Thought There Is Never a Girl Online. Although that one almost got into second place. That was a harder call, but yeah. It's like I mentioned how my Fate Zero, I just am thinking, man, I'm liking this show. I want to get done with it, which makes no sense. With 86, it feels like I'm thinking, man, this series really needs some better direction and it's kind of slow paced. I can't wait to see the next episode. I don't know why my brain is weird. Okay. All right. Anything else?
No, that's all I got.
All right. So that has been our episodes. We usually put up the episodes on Thursday or Friday or Saturday. And yep, we'll be here next week with the return of Toonami, the conclusion of this season of My Hero Academia, the final episode of, the final rebuild of Evangelion movie, and the rest.
Yep.
See ya.
Bye, me.